we ready tonight. You better not come around me if you don't want stirred up by the Spirit of God. See, that's my job, stir up the brethren and the sisters. Oh, you know, they can smile in church, you know what? They really can. Brothers and sisters, what a glorious time it is to serve God. You know, America is faced with a serious situation. A serious situation. The president has asked the House and the Senate to approve his plans. And I don't think any of them are sure they want to approve anything. You know, God rules in the kingdom of men. God rules in the kingdom of men. No one can stay the hand of God. No one can say to God, what are you doing? Well, what he wants to. It's none of your business. Oh, we tell God what to do. Well, you think you do, but you never get anywhere with him. You see, it's really pathetic how arrogant the human race is, how blind they are, how wicked they are, how much they have rejected the Word of God. They've rejected God. They don't know what they're doing. They cannot discern their left hand from their right. And America and the world today is in great turmoil because of the devil confusing them. God will. Well, we're going to move on, continue on tonight with the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. The 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Do you know what the book of Acts, what the book of Acts is? It's a record of what the apostles that were with Jesus did, and also what the deacons did. The work of the Spirit of God. Yeah, that's what it means. Acts of the apostle, or apostles. And they did great works, or God did great works through them. And now, we're talking about the original 12, but then here comes the Apostle Paul and the people with him, Barnabas, Paul, Silas. Thank God. You see, God had more than 12 apostles. That's... Are you insulting the people? No, their ignorance insults them. No, Paul was not supposed to have been the 12th apostle. Matthias was. God knew what he was doing. And then Paul, and then Barnabas, and then Silas. Glory be to God. I've been studying the Bible for more than 40 years. You don't have to have somebody to teach you what the Bible says. You have to have God teach you what it says. And he will. And he taught me. And, he gets credit. You don't. No seminary taught me anything. No Bible teacher taught me anything. No, I didn't teach myself. Some theologian once said about me what he really respected about me. I was self-taught. I said, no, I'm not. Don't be so silly. I'm not self-taught. God taught me. It says in the 6th chapter of the book of John, that it's written in the law that all shall be taught of God. Why don't you learn the book before you start talking? Quit quoting some preacher that doesn't know what he's doing. So I stay with the Bible. Oh, I've got the King James, also have the New International. And I've got some more, but I don't pay much attention to them anymore. Those two are pretty close, and I just stay with them. So Bob Buckner's in a, Bob Buckner, glory be to God. Do I need to repent, Brother Bob? Glory. You know, Bob Buckner used to be in this ministry. He started out with me in 1980. And he got lifted up in pride and didn't like what I said. And then he ends up giving a big interview, Deep Magazine, my Lord Jesus. I would not have thought you would have talked about Bob, but, you know, Bob apparently wrote on a blog that if he, before he would come back to this ministry, he would have to have a lobotomy. Well, I wouldn't be writing that if I were anybody. You know that?
That's right.
Because he might get one. No, I wouldn't talk that way. That's not smart. That's not the fear of God. Amen. But anyway, Bob Carpenter, thank God. We finally do get it right. But God wanted to talk about Brother Bob Buckner. And he'll talk about any of you. And you know what? He's not afraid of any of you. He knows your name. You know what's interesting about God? He knows Bob Buckner's sins. You know that?
Right.
He knows all of our sins. He said, how about yours? Well, he hadn't reminded me any of mine recently, but if he did, I'd repent like that and be set free. I ain't like that. Amen. So, Bob Gartner, an apostle and prophet, walks with me, went through a great trial of tribulation, and God brought him through. His faith and my faith, the mutual faith of the two of us, comforted him, imparted spiritual gifts to him, and he came through with victory. And so now God has brought him to a place to begin to read for me. See, I used to read myself for myself, and I will again, but all these wicked spirits and these wicked people came down on me. Yeah, and they overpowered my vision. They dimmed my vision. But I will tell you something. You can't keep it down. Oh, no. You cannot keep it down. Thank God. Amen. In Isaiah 3, 8 or 9, maybe it's 8 and 9, Because the tongue and the doings of the men were against God, women ruled them, and children oppressed them. I thought that for years. I still do. I just got through. You see, women don't rule me, and children do not oppress me. Why? Because I obey God. See, that's a promise in Isaiah 3, 8, I think it is. That's a promise. If you don't obey God, men, a woman will rule you and children will oppress you. So I don't mind if a woman rules me. Well, I don't mind either, but God does. How you like that? See, well, my wife's smarter than me. I don't doubt that a bit either. But you don't have to be really intelligent to read fifth grade. No, you don't. You just have to be stupid to think you have to know how to read fifth grade. So, Why don't we move on to Bob, Brother Bob Buckner, good Lord God. Lord, what are you doing? I know this is Bob Carpenter. Amen. And we start reading in Acts chapter 60. All right?
Amen. Acts 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium.
Timothy.
Yeah.
Had a Jewish mother and a Greek father, but he was well reported of by the church, the brethren of the church in that area. Let's go on.
Verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily.
Daily added. Did you know daily people are added to my ministry? Daily. All over the world. Roku, live stream, internet, somewhere. They're every place. Let's go.
Verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia.
Wait just a minute. This is an incredulity. Do you know that? That the Holy Ghost would forbid an apostle to preach the word. You know, if you people read the Bible and believe it, you wouldn't be such rebels and you wouldn't be so deceived. But the Holy Ghost has forbid me many times to preach the gospel. But when he says, open my mouth, and starts talking, I'll talk to a king, a governor, anybody. It doesn't make any difference. Let's go.
And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us.
See, the Holy Spirit had stopped Paul from preaching in two different locations. But God wanted him to go to Macedonia. You see, God runs my ministry. God directs me where to go and what I say and when. And he's doing that very same thing this evening, talking to you and wanting to show you that Paul had a vision. And a man in Macedonia said, come over here. So God directs by visions. He directs you by the Spirit of God with words, also with impressions, also with checks in the spirit. No, you don't say anymore. Just be quiet. But here, God directs him with a vision to Macedonia. And by the way, God also directs you by not giving you anything in the spirit. And when he doesn't give you anything, keep your mouth shut. And don't let the devil say, well, you've got to tell him something. No, you don't. Excuse me. No, you don't have to speak a word to anybody. You know, I've stood before people and been with people that were deep in sin, all kinds of sin. And the Spirit of God would not say one word to them through me. I just go on and let them sin. Doesn't bother me. Not my business. I'm not the judge of the earth. You think you are, but you're not. Go ahead, Bob.
Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samoth, whatever that is, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened.
Stop right there. Notice this woman, Lydia, was out with them praying. And God opened this woman's heart. Unless God opens your heart, friend, you're not going to get anything. It doesn't matter. God grants grace to the humble. And God opened her heart. And what are the next few words, Bob?
Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul.
Okay. God opened her heart that she attended, paid attention in her heart to the things spoken by the Apostle Paul. You see, that these passages of Scripture changed by way of living, my mind for sure. Back in the 1970s, unless God opens your heart, you cannot even hear in your heart what God is saying. This was one of the great blessings I ever received. I was in Argyle in great trouble. God put me there. No, I'd never been in that kind of trouble. But God put me there to teach me. And right there, the Spirit of God, God opened the heart. He opens your heart. He's opened Bob's heart to pay attention, to attend to the words I speak by the Spirit of God. Amen. So let's move on.
Verse 15, and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us.
Is that amazing? She opened, God opened her heart, and her and her household attended to the words and were baptized. And that Paul was invited to her house, right?
Right.
Now, we're getting ready to move from this point of excitement. If you think it's not exciting to know that God has to open your heart to hear the word of God, you're a blind person. You're all puffed up, you're ignorant as you can be. Read the Bible. Let God teach you as he has me. But we're moving on now from this place, these passages of Scripture to another one, another group of Scriptures that are really wild. Let's go.
Verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us.
Wait a minute. Now, Paul and Silas were going to pray. And a woman followed them. A damsel with a spirit of divination, spirit of witchcraft, flattering divination. And that spirit talked for days. Read on, Brother Bob.
The spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying.
You see that? Divination. Divination will cause you to make money through soothsaying. It'll bless you with all kinds of blessings. The devil will bless you. Did you know that? That was astonishment of heart to me, that the devil would bless me. Why would he bless me? Because he wanted to keep me in his bondage. So she bought her masters much gain. But let's make it plain. She told him what stock to buy. Back in the early 70s, I met some people that knew a lady in New Orleans. And this lady was this divining spirit, a soothsayer. And she'd tell people what kind of stock to buy, and they'd make money. And one day, Jesus saved her and delivered her. And she was afraid. She was afraid because the people, her masters, made her. She made them much gain. Much gain. In the stock market, buying certain stocks. So I don't believe that. Well, nobody asked you to. Did I tell you to send me 100 before I spoke to you? I don't need your money. I got more money than you'll ever have. And this woman was afraid. And she told these people that she was with, that she got her born again. She said, they're going to come get me. And these people said, no, that they cannot come get you. God is, the angels of God are now protecting you. Angels of God are now protecting you. And one day, this limo drove up front of her house, and men got out in business suits, and she said, here they come, here they come. The people in the house said, they won't bother you, they will not bother you. And they were walking up the sidewalk, and all of a sudden they threw up their hands and turned and ran. Yeah, this is supposedly a true testimony. People that I heard it from claim to have been there, and I had some confidence in them. Oh, I've seen angels stop horses from killing me. Yeah, I saw an angel knock a guy down in this sanctuary one night, right up here. He was mad and big old dumb guy. And he was coming to attack me, and I'd been speaking, and, you know, I stand up there, and he got about so far from me, and God knocked him flat. And I just stood there and looked at him, and I thought, what are you doing down there, fat boy? Yeah, that's the way I am. I was made that way. If you think I'm some whatever, I'm not. This guy's full of the devil. Full of the devil. Full of witchcraft. Wanted to do harm to me. I wouldn't do this job that without bodyguards and machine guns. If God wouldn't protect me, you know? I'm not stupid. No, I'm not one bit stupid. Thank God. Amen. God knocked him flat on the floor. That's my protection. Angels of the Lord, slap you silly. Sounds reasonable to me, huh? So, anyway, these guys left. The woman's fine, last I knew of her. It's a blessing from God. Read on, Bob.
Verse 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God would show us the way of salvation.
Now, this is a spirit of divination. Operates in almost every pulpit in America. Almost all. And they talk about how so-and-so got more people saved than anybody they ever knew. They ever heard. A million people. No, they didn't get one person saved. You can't save people. What's wrong with you? Jesus Christ saves people. The Spirit of God does it. You can't get anybody saved. What's wrong with you? Look, I want to say something. If you people had so many, that you got so many people saved as you say you have, how come America is so goofy? Well, is that reasonable? Doesn't it say that a Christian is the salt of the earth? That's what it says. Amen. So, you can get anybody saved. Paul was grieved. My spirit gets grieved. Listen, you boasters. Would you go on?
Verse 18. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour.
Is that nice? Is it not fun to cast a divining spirit out of a woman? I guess it is. I just really enjoy it. How about a man? Well, so what? I cast them out of men, too. There's just more women that's got stronger spirits of witchcraft, of divination, than I've met now. I've not met all over the world. I haven't met every person in the world. But I've met a few. Amen. Divination. Let's go on, Brother Bob.
Verse 19, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone.
Oh, look at that. The hope of their gains were gone. She could no longer make them money. No longer increase their wealth. And look what they did.
They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks.
Cast them in the inner prison.
Right.
Bound them up, right?
Yes.
Why? Because that spirit cast out of that woman could no longer make money for those people. Could no longer predict what to do, what to buy, where to sell, buy and sell. Oh, if you think this won't upset a sorcerer, I'd love to see them upset. I do. You'll have to humble yourself and get rid of that wicked spirit. I'll cast it out of you if God directs me to. Amen. Let's go on. Next verse.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
You
okay, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
Amen. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and praised God, and the prisoners heard them. They were not afraid to pray loud. Thank God. Like I'm not afraid to talk loud. By the Spirit of God. Let's continue.
And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway.
Look at this. They took this, Paul and Silas took the jailer and all of his household, took them out of jail, and they go and baptize them. Amen? Now look what happened. They came back to jail. You think God doesn't run jails? Don't you know this would drive some of the great prisons crazy if God would open up the prison or get somebody out of prison one night and they just walk out? The jailers would go nuts. All of them would. Thank God. But I'll tell you, God will do it. In these days we're in right now, you watch God get people out of jail. They'll just walk out. And you won't even know where they went. Go ahead.
And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed.
I love this. You know that? Paul and Silas, the magistrate said, "Let them go." Paul said, "Oh, no. Oh, no. You're not going to run us out. You put us in jail. You beat us. You did all these things. We're not moving. Come, the magistrates, come get us out yourself. Come on. Get us out yourself." He has that kind of authority over magistrates. And come get us out yourself. And they came and got them out and let them go. God rules in prisons. He rules everywhere. And I will say this. He's ruling tonight in Washington, D.C. concerning what is going to happen in Syria. Jesus Christ is Lord of this whole thing. And nobody knows just yet what's going to take place. Amen. What a blessing this 16th chapter of Acts is. How God rules. How the power of God rules. A great blessing to see how God rules through his servants. It's a tremendous blessing.